Ephesians chapter 6. Listen, I'm going to continue because the Holy Spirit is saying something this morning. If you allow your personality to knock you out of the presence of God and the victory He wants you to have, you have made idolatrous gods out of your own personality. Now listen, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can look at me all day long and say, I don't like to bow. Well, okay. So tell yourself to bow anyway, because He's worthy. You can just feel it in the room when some people don't like what you're saying, but no, I'm here to share what I believe is on the heart of God. And we need to go back to our roots of understanding what praise and worship is if we think He always leaves us in a comfort zone. Now, praise God. There's sweet quiet. There is time for sweet quiet. We've had plenty of those times here in this place. You recall, if you've been with me for any length of time, we don't shout 24/7. There are plenty of times we have bowed and just stood in silence or knelt in silence before the Lord. So I'm not trying to wrestle with your personality. I'm trying to help you be free from the devil who wants to wrestle you out of victory. Please hear my heart for you. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
God knows. God knows. Pastor Sherry, one more time. Fantastic opening. Fantastic preaching here. I just knew in my spirit there was something God had birthed in you. And it's okay. You speak the word and out it comes. We are an honored, blessed people to have you here with us. So we rejoice in you. We are on part 10 of a series on spiritual warfare. At Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14 is where we have landed. And last week, we spoke on the belt of truth. The belt of truth that we put on, meaning not just God's word is true, but meaning truth in the inward parts. If I'm a liar, I cannot expect God's victory as a soldier of God, right? If I'm walking in hypocrisy, I cannot expect God's victory, nor can I be angry at Him for not giving it to me if I'm not cleaned up by His grace. Now, when we hear those kinds of things, there's two ways to respond. I'll never make it. Or, Lord, I come to You for Your grace and mercy. Thank You. If Jesus convicts you of something, church, it's because He wants to help us change. You understand that? Please hear that. If you come under conviction on anything during a message, it's never intended by the Holy Spirit. It's never intended to beat you up and leave you there. That's not what He's after. It's a gift from God. Kind of like that dashboard light goes off in your car. You need oil. And you thank God, man, if that oil light goes off, what you don't do is take out a hammer and smash it out. Don't like that light, never did like that light, bam, don't want to see that light. No, what you do is you go, oh, there's something that the engine needs. And so if the Holy Spirit brings conviction in your soul, there's something that your spirit, your soul needs. So we come to Him and we say, Lord, thanks for turning the light on. Thanks for showing it to me. Thank You for working with me. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for not leaving me alone. Keep changing me, Lord. I repent of that. I see it. Yes, I see it. I turn away from that thing. And I want to turn toward You and walk with You. So please keep changing me. Ephesians 6, verse 14 talks about having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:14 out of the New Living, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And thus, say it with me, please, the body armor of God's righteousness. Out of the Passion Translation, put on holiness as the protective armor that what? Covers your heart. All right, so what is God's body armor? What's God's body armor? Well, the body armor of God's righteousness is what's being talked about here. The body armor was a large leather, bronze, or chainmail piece that protected the body from the neck right down through to the thighs. Protected vital organs. There was no soldier that would go into battle without his body armor. This oftentimes had a back piece too, protecting the body from hits from behind. But righteousness, right, being right with God, rightness with God, is a powerful defense. When you are right with God, the devil has no chink in your armor. He has no avenue. He has no ability to get in and come and attack you. What's the attack usually sound like? You know what you did. You're not right with God. You can't be used by God. Look at your past. Look at this. And if you're right with God and you're covered by the blood and that's all in the past, when the devil comes along and goes, you're not right with God, you say, shut up in Jesus' name. Get out. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. It gives the evidence when you're right with God that you have solid footing. The enemy, the accuser, Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, he accuses them night and day, or accuses them night and day. He tries to convince us that we're not worthy of forgiveness. We're not worthy of mercy or grace. Well, thank God it's not based on our worthiness. Amen? It's based on what he did. So what we do is we receive his mercy. We receive his grace. We see it. We agree with it, and we decree it. I'm going to use that repeatedly this morning, several times. See, agree, decree. Whoops, three. See, agree, decree. Say it with me. See, agree, decree. See what he says. Agree with what he says. Now let your mouth decree what he says. So this armor protects us. And guys, when we put on the armor of God, we get right images about ourselves and we think we look like this. George Clooney. I'm a strong soldier. All right, you look better than that, okay? All right. But we put on the armor of God and we understand that he's defended us and given us a defense and enabled us to stand strong. So how do we apply this? What do we do? How do we apply this? Number one, we receive his righteousness by faith and by grace. Come on. By faith and by grace. How many believe the gift of God through Jesus Christ is worthy of all the rest of our lives? Man! Come on. Were you forgiven of anything? Come on. Come on. Anybody in this room been forgiven of anything? How many can agree with me that you, meaning you, not me, you and I, we were both creeps, all creeps who needed grace. See, that's the newest translation. All creeps are saved by grace. No, we just plain need him. You know, the Bible says there's not many hot shots that got saved. A lot of needy people get saved. Right? You know, you go, well, maybe I wasn't a bank robber, but if that pride, that stubbornness stuck in there and you knew you wanted your own way and you were defiant, that's all stuff that works in there. And Jesus comes with his mercy and his grace and forgiveness. I thank God that he reached down to me and forgave me. You know, the old Bible teacher was so funny. He says, you know, we go through all this stuff and God gets us down there, uses the meat grinder on us and we wrestle with God. He's finally got us down there and he's got his foot on us. He's holding us down as we jump all around and we finally say, okay, uncle or Jesus, I surrender. And then we get up and we say, I found Jesus. When the reality is he came pursuing after us by his grace. Man, come on, church. Aren't you glad he pursued you? He saw you right where you are. He knows you right where you are. And he sees you in the hurting times where, whether you were a little girl or a little boy at home or a teenager or an older person, he sees you. He knows you right where you are. And he says, come on, I've got life for you. Come on, let's get you out of this thing. And let's get you on with life and living. like I purposed it to be. He's got such good news. We receive his righteousness by faith and by grace. Listen to the scriptures, Romans 4, verse 5. To him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Now that verse out of the Passion goes like this. But no one earns God's righteousness. It can only be transferred out of the Passion. It says, we can only be transferred when we no longer rely on our own good works, but believe in the one who powerfully declares the ungodly to be righteous in his eyes. It's faith that transfers God's righteousness into your account. Did you ever get more money than you ever thought you were going to receive? You ever got a gift from someone that was a total surprise? Man, and it was a gift? Man, wasn't that good? How many want to win a $1 million lottery? Wouldn't that be good? No, sir. But it comes into our account, and we thank God for it. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30, out of the Message. Everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate. Come on, say it with me. I got a clean slate. And a fresh start comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. Now that's the truth. Regardless of the devil's attack, that's the truth. If you wrestle with condemnation, if you wrestle with introspection or shame over sin, that's not freedom. The truth is what we need to declare. See, agree, decree. Again, see, decree, see, agree, and decree. I can remember my own pattern. I said it here. See, agree, decree. Before you go to it, Pat, I'm just going to ask you this question, then you can put the next one up. Is your confession killing you? Now, to acknowledge your need is honest. Nothing shameful about it. We can go to it, Pat. Thank you. But to confess, there's nothing wrong with being honest. That's exactly what it's all about. That's fine. That's where we start. Amen. But you need to confess his provision. That's his calling for us as his sons and daughters. Confess his provision. Confess what you don't see. Now you sit there and you go, wait a minute. It's mind over matter. No, I'm not talking about mind over matter. I'm talking about faith in Jesus over your circumstances. I'm talking about faith in Jesus who's provided and graced us and gifted us, whose word has declared it, and the enemy has us bound in faithlessness, and we say, get out in Jesus' name. Here's the report I'm going to believe. Here's the report I'm going to confess. Here's the report that makes the difference. Here's what God has done, not what the world says, but what he says. I am not going to kill my faith by declaring something that the devil says. I'm going to declare what Jesus says. Come on, church. The word of faith is near you. Where? Where? The word of faith is nigh you, even in your mouth. Again, it's no sin to be honest. That's not what I'm saying. To acknowledge our need. But it's then needing us to cooperate and say, wait a minute, I know what I might see, but I know what Jesus has done. And I'm going to choose to believe him. We either choose sometimes faith destroying or faith building. Faith destroying or faith building. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We also believe and therefore speak. Romans 10 verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, this verse, you guys, is based on Deuteronomy chapter 30 and Moses' teaching. Now, Moses is reaching the end of his life. He's laboring with his people that he's labored with through up and down. And you know, we so commonly look to the Old Testament and say, oh, the Old Testament, God's just a God of judgment. The same God whose heart beats for you now is the God whose heart beats for his people to be with him and to be blessed by him. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 11 through 14. He's coming to the end of his life, Moses is. And he's saying, look, I've worked with you guys and God wants to bless you. And I've set before you blessing. I've set before you cursing. And he says this, the context of these verses are the word of God is not way up high so you can't reach it. And it's not over there so you can't find it. The word of God is what you need to agree with. Moses is pouring out his soul as their teacher. And as their leader, he said, I'm getting ready to go from the scene, and I want you to be blessed, and I want you to know God's provision, and I want you to hear him and hear his voice. He says, the word isn't out there, so you can't find it. The word is near you, right here in your mouth. And if your mouth and your heart will agree with the word of God, then you will find yourself blessed in the presence of God. And that's what our New Testament version of that is based on. Moses pleading with his people to see, agree, and decree the word of God. So God has done it. Amen? The breastplate of righteousness. Who's made you righteous? If you're here and you've not given your life to Jesus, I urge you to do so today. So you can exchange unrighteousness for his righteousness. But now that he's done it, now make choice. Now make choice. We got a part, just like Pastor Sherry said this morning. We got a part, we get to play. Romans 6, verse 13, New American Standard. Don't go on. This is just powerful. Don't go on. I'll read the whole verse to you. I've only got part of it up here. Romans 6, verse 13, New American Standard Version. Don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who are alive from the dead. Look at me, smile, let me see your teeth. Show me you're alive from the dead this morning. Punch your neighbor if he or she's asleep. Come on, wake up. This is good stuff. Preach it, Pastor Kev. I'm alive from the dead, thank God. And Romans 6:13 out of the Message. Listen, this is so cool. Listen to this. I got the whole thing, just a part of it up there, but listen to the whole thing. Romans 6:13 out of the Message. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time. Throw yourselves. Remember, he says, you've been raised from the dead. Throw yourselves wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Isn't that a fabulous verse? Out of the Passion, verses 13 and 14, says this, out of the whole thing here, it says, refuse to answer its call, the old way of life. Refuse to answer its call to surrender your body as a tool for wickedness. Instead, passionately answer God's call to keep yielding your body to him as one who has now experienced resurrection life. Amen. Pastor Joseph, right on. Jesus saw you way, way, way before the history we know begins. He sees you then. He sees you now. He sees you in eternity. When does your resurrection life begin? When, church? Now. Oh, three of you said it. When?
Now.
Let's rehearse it. One, two, three.
Now!
Very good. You live now for his pleasure. That's what it says. Ready to be used for his noble purpose. Remember this. Sin will not conquer you. For God, I love this. Sin will not conquer you, the Bible says, for God already has. Huh? God's conquered me. I'm his now. I'm his. You're not governed by law, but governed by the reign, R-E-I-G-N, by the reign, listen, of the grace of God. Aren't you glad you're ruled over by grace, by his good news? Now, because of the gift of righteousness that Jesus has given us, we walk in his righteousness. He gave it. We see it. We agree with it. We decree it. See, agree, decree. We choose him now and his way. It's not a hard choice because he's in my heart. Robert Robert Morris said this morning, it was a great phrase I heard him say. He says, my default position now is to go God's way. My default position is to agree with God. I am who he's made me by his grace. We choose him, his word, his way. Our heart is his. We want to because we love him. Amen? If you find in this room, you say to me, Pastor Kev, I'm not there. I still don't want to all the way walk with him. I'm here to tell you that he's got his hands extended out to you this morning. It's time to come to a fresh surrender to Jesus, receive his grace, his mercy. And by the way, that's why we all hang out with each other. Because when we're tempted, we need somebody else walking by our side saying, no, don't go that way. Come on. You know, you start to walk that way and somebody loves you enough to say, no, let's walk this way. Come on.
Yeah, let's do that.
You know, I remember taking my kids when they were children, you know, that we talked about it this morning, even in worship, that you start to go across the street and little kids dart out everywhere, right? And how many times did you with your own children just grab them by the nape of the neck and hold on to them? No, we're not going now. No, we're not going that way. That's what the family of God's all about, isn't it? Yeah. We're not going that way. Amen. We're not going to the right or to the left. We're going to go with Jesus. Right, you guys? Yeah. You know, 71 years together. Isn't that great? Fantastic, man. You know, how'd you get there? Because she kept saying to me and he kept saying to me, no, you're not going that way. We're going this way. Man.
She kept saying to me.
She kept better than Roy any day. His hands are stretched out still. He'll work with you. He'll walk with you. We'll work with you. We'll walk with you. So he's working with us. So our walk agrees with his provision. Huh? He's provided us. And we keep learning how to walk it better. So what do? We understand we receive his righteousness by faith, by his grace. Now we agree with him and make choice. We see, we agree, and we decree. Now, last point, no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. I said, preach it, brother, no condemnation. Turn to each other and say, hey, no condemnation. Sometimes spouses look at each other and go, no, you should feel a little. No. No. No condemnation. Romans 8, verse 1, out of the Passion. Listen, I love it. So now, the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the anointed one. How many in this room are joined in life union with Jesus? No condemnation. The breastplate of righteousness that we put on means we are his soldiers and we're not condemned by our heart. What I did long ago, it's under the blood of Jesus. I'm a forgiven man. What I did last week that I've repented from and my default position is to repent and get right with him. It's all under the blood of Jesus. I'm clean. There's no way a fiery dart can pierce through the armor to get to your heart because Jesus already got to your heart. No hypocrisy, no secret sin. It's all out in the open and it's all gone. Man, thank God. Sanctifying, righteous living, set apart living for him, walking true with him. It's all based on his grace, but it's what we do every day. How many in this room, I'd really like to see a show of hands, find that you can't watch the same program on TV that might have been okay 5 years ago. You go back now and you can't watch it. Man, oh man, oh man. Well, what changed in that TV show? I didn't see that in there before. Well, I shouldn't see it now. You know, how many times you guys, you know what that's proof of, don't you? That Jesus is at work. High five each other. Say, good job. We're going to keep changing. What I used to be able to do, he keeps growing me up. So I can't do what I used to do, thank God. But he replaces that thing with his grace and his sense of his presence. And I'm more at peace with him because I haven't opened the door to wrong stuff. I don't have to go that way. I simply don't go that way. I don't run into sin and shame because of the grace of God, because he's changed me forever. Now, watch the scripture. Isaiah 61, verse 10. I love it. Watch this. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Watch this. Because he's clothed me. He put on the garments of salvation. He's covered me with a robe of righteousness. I mean, maybe you've been saved for, 47 years too, and you've got songs going through your head. I have put on the garment of praise. I have put on the garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness is gone from me. I have put on the garment of praise. Some of you look at me like, I'm sure glad those songs were a long time ago. Yeah. But the truth remains. But he's clothed me with his garments. I love it. Pastor Sherry has spoken often about Jesus coming up and putting the garments, the robes of righteousness on us. You feel beat up and you've blown it in your life and you know you're not worthy of it and you know you can't earn it and you haven't deserved it. And Jesus comes up as the moment you say, Lord, I surrender to you. Jesus, I surrender. You're my takeover of this mess. Make me what you want me to do. He comes up. He says, darling, I see you. And he puts his robes of righteousness right around us. He says, I see you through the blood. I see you clean. And I see you wearing the garments of righteousness. How many in the New Testament, you remember the section where there was a wedding and they gave the wedding guests what? Robes to wear. Wedding garments to wear. And there was some guy in there who rejected his wedding garment. And he said, you, hoo-hoo, don't belong here. How many know that none of us belong in his wedding feast? But he came up and he said, Mark, I got a robe of righteousness for you, buddy. And you, wedding garment, come to the wedding. Aren't you glad by the grace of God you're wearing his garments of righteousness this morning? The devil can shout all he wants in the background saying, hey, I knew you when. That's all right. Jesus knows me now. He knows me now. You know, many of you, that for 47 years, Pastor Sherry and her husband, my wife and I, were best friends. And my wife journeyed on to be with Jesus 20 years ago. Pastor Carl went over 5 years ago, and we just stayed as best friends. But I can guarantee you that we tried to walk as properly as we could. When I went to see her at her house, I would not just barge in. I would knock on the door. And if she didn't answer the door, I didn't go in. Because it was in my house. But then there came a day. She didn't hit me, but said yes. And we said, I do. And she looked at me and she went, I don't know. No, she didn't. She looked at me and she says, you're going to get me in a lot of trouble here. And she said, I do. And many of you were there at that time. But let me tell you, what shifted? Might have seemed a little funny at first, but when we got to where we live, I didn't go up to the door with the ring on my finger and my bride on my arm and knock. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you doing? Well, I'm seeing if you'll let me in. I didn't do it anymore because I had a key. And I put the key in the door lock, open it up, and in we went. And I got to look at her and say, "Welcome home, honey." And I was home. I didn't have to feel like I didn't belong or like I had to knock. There was freedom. In Jesus, He has taken the sin away. He has put His robe on you, His wedding garment on you. And He says, "Son and daughter, you're mine." So you don't have to walk in and go, "I don't know." The devil wants you to think that. Yeah, right. But Jesus says, "Come on in." Yeah. The party's great.
That's right. Amen.
Come on in. You've got a wedding garment on, a robe of righteousness, the ring of authority. Now you belong to me. Come be at home in Dad's house. And when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, when you know your heart's clean and your walk is clean, He can keep working with you and transitioning and changing you. But you know, my heart doesn't condemn me because I'm free.
Amen.
And I'm forgiven because I wear the breastplate of righteousness. How about you this morning? If the Lord's convicting you and there's something where you know you're not right, oh man, just come to the Jesus who loves you so much and just get it right. Say, "Lord, forgive me. I repent. I turn from it. But Lord, I'm yours." These altars will be open. Every service, they're open if you need to respond to the Lord in that way. But most of all, as we stand to leave this place today, what I want you to be able to do is walk with your head held high as a soldier, as a son, as a daughter of Jesus, saying, "Man, He did so much for me, and I'm so glad." And high five each other on the way out the door and go, "Man, aren't you glad we went to church? And oh, aren't you glad to be a soldier of God? Aren't you glad with everything He's done? Aren't you glad you're forgiven?" Praise God. Now we can really shout unto God with a voice of triumph because we're free. Because we've got on the breastplate of righteousness. The Lord has spoken to you this morning. Rejoice in what He's done. He is such a great God. And remember again, if ever you get convicted, it's the gift of God because He loves you so much. Amen? That you've already won all the victory. And we get to come through the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we wear the robes of righteousness we have on the breastplate of righteousness this morning. Thank you that the past is gone, the present is ahead, and the future is right here with us. And we, Lord, get to walk out of this place rejoicing in you, Jehovah, the self-existent one who reveals Himself to each of us as a mighty warrior who's forgiven and had mercy upon us. So, Lord, even as we finish with this older song, our cry is indeed to be like Jesus. All we ask, Lord, to be like you all through life's journey from earth to glory. What we ask is you keep working with us and make us like you. That you'll bless those who have come here this morning. Lord, that as they go from this place, they go built up in the Spirit of God, in the Word of God. Lord, that we realize by your grace, we've been enriched with your Word written on our hearts and minds. Lord, we thank you that we wear by grace that breastplate of righteousness. How we love and worship you. Bless each one now in Jesus' name. Would you raise your hands for the blessing? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. In another place it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." We thank you, Lord, for it. Now we give you praise in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the presence of God. Amen.